ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 16. Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons.
Evam viprakrite loke. Evam viprakrite loke. Daityendra nuchara ermuhu. Daityendra nuchara ermuhu. Divam deva parityajya. Divam deva parityajya. Bhuvi cherura lakshitaha. Bhuvi cherura lakshitaha.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus disturbed again and again by the unnatural occurrences caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, all the people had to cease the activities of Vedic culture. Not receiving the results of yajna, the demigods also became disturbed. They left their residential quarters in the heavenly planets and, unobserved by the demons, began wandering on the planet Earth to see the disasters. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the performance of yajna brings reciprocal good fortune for both the human beings and the demigods. When the performances of yajna were stopped by the disturbances of the demons, the demigods were naturally bereft of the results of yajna and hampered in executing their respective duties. Therefore, they came down to the planet Earth to see how people had become disturbed and to consider what to do. Oma, to what time class is usually going here? 9, including all questions. Yeah. So you can get ready to be on Sankirtan on time. So here in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how Hiranyakashipu disturbed the entire universe. And there was unnatural occurrences which were caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu. As we heard previously, they have ruined all Brahminical activities, all mode of goodness has become disturbed by the demons. So, as a result, people would cease their activities of Vedic culture. The activities of Vedic culture are protection of the cows, the Brahmins, the elders, women and children. Those activities were very much disturbed. And we can see how this is a common day scenario in modern society. Even though to the extent that governments have passed laws which are based on asuric principles, which means they do not take care of women, children, and old people. They say, okay, we will take care of people who are in their productive age, which means between 20 and 50 or 20 and 60. But anybody who is not in that productive range, fend for yourself. You have to look after yourself. It's like in many countries of the world, people work their entire lives and later on, once they retire, they get a pension which is not even allowing them to keep body and soul together. So they're forced at the age of 65, 70 to go to the market and sell any kind of goods just so to be able to eat. It's like in Russia. Formerly it was a communist system, so you contributed what you could and you received what everybody received. So in this way, life was going on. But now that system is not functioning anymore. So it's open market. So people are receiving pension maybe $80, $100. So they're getting pension 3,000 or 4,000 rupees. But their rent might already be the same amount. And then formerly, electricity, heating, water, all those utilities would be free, freely supplied by the government. But now they have to pay for them. So people are in very awkward situations. So when the activities of the Vedic culture are not being performed, the demigods get disturbed because they are not getting their share of yagya. Yagya is not performed, they are not getting their share. How can we understand that? Sometimes we think demigods are out there somewhere and they're so dependent on us, or they're completely independent on us, but it's both. In a sense, they're independent because they're on a higher plane. They're living a different sphere. But in some sense, they're dependent. Just like the example you can give is just like government officials. If you're a minister of state or a member of parliament, you're definitely not a common man. You get the special treatment, the police escort, all the different benefits, different powers are there. They have the right to veto, they have the right to pardon, they have so many rights which are given. But if the government is not doing well, meaning if they don't have a consensus and they have to dismiss parliament, they're kicked out on their backs. Or if the government is not doing well financially because people are not paying their taxes, then they don't have any money to distribute. Because if nothing comes in, then how they can distribute the wealth? So in the same way, the demigods, if they're not taking their share in yagya, they can also not reciprocate with the living entities in the same way. And that's nowadays because yagya is not performed. So that's why we're also not getting all those benefits from the demigods, which, you know, in usual times you would get. Demigods, by their by their pleasure and satisfaction, they would allow the people to live an abundant life. Nowadays, if you see a tree or a bush which gives flowers, you think, wow, this is extraordinary. This is spectacular. This is wonderful. Because in Kali Yuga, we are not used to that. Everything is barren. You go to so many places and there is no fruits, there is no flowers, there is none of these things. Because the demigods are not showering their benedictions in abundance. Because no yagya is performed. Now we understand in Kali Yuga, the main yagya is Harinam Sankirtan. Kalayer dho shanide rajan astiheko mahat gunan kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. So the yoga dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. By our understanding of our acharyas, for Kali Yuga, to do all the Vedic fire sacrifices, it is not possible to reach perfection through that stage. And even we see ourselves, we're trying very hard sometimes to put on those performances. And we see how difficult it is, because everything must be right. And in Kali Yuga, most likely, something is not right. Something is just not exactly perfect. And then the result is questionable. But in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In chanting Hare Krishna, there are no hard and fast rules. There is no right and wrong place. Just like sometimes devotees would say, yeah, but if you're in the bathroom, you cannot chant Hare Krishna. But it's not true. What if, God forbid, something happens and you have to leave your body in the bathroom? You can't chant Hare Krishna because you're in the bathroom? No. You can chant anywhere, any place. There is no such hard and fast rules. When you're doing a yagya, everything has to be right. The time, the place, the circumstance, the ingredients, the endeavor, And if just something is tinged or polluted, the result can be the opposite. Just like you all know the story from, what was it, Britrasura? Big Yagya was going to be prepared, and just one syllable long instead of short, and opposite result. Huge demon coming to devour everybody. That's why they said you should not invite too many guests to your home. Because if you just mistreat or neglect or disrespect one person, you might get opposite result. And it's very difficult. Of course, devotees are different. They're very magnanimous. They're very humble. They do not take offense. Because they appreciate the enthusiasm and the proper spirit of the other devotees who is inviting. But in Vedic culture, if you're going according to protocol, there's so many things which you should do and which you shouldn't do. And sometimes some little mistake might be there. Just like, who was it who took water to break the fast? Ambarish Maharaj, yes, excuse me. Early morning, my brain is not yet working so much. So, just like Ambarish Maharaj, you know, he was fasting. And to break his fast, he took water. And Durvasa Muni said, "You're such a selfish rascal. You have disrespected me because you took water before I had come and eaten." Now, we all know how it is, especially if you're householders and you have family and children. The kids, they want to eat all day. Whether you have guests or no guests, or there is no waiting. It's here and now. Mommy, daddy, give me, give me, give me. They don't allow you to go through with your routine. So, you have to feed the kids. And we do not take offense because we understand this is Kali Yuga. All those ritualistic activities are reduced and they're also not so important. But the chanting of the holy name is so wonderful that it will free us from all sinful reactions. It will free us from all attachments to the material world. And you have been so fortunate. You are so blessed that, like I was distributing books yesterday and day before yesterday in Dadar Station and on the local trains, which I never thought I would do in my life, but somehow, by the mercy of you devotees, I got to have this wonderful experience. So I saw how if you're just chanting Hare Krishna, people appreciate so much. Just by seeing a devotee, everybody starts chanting Hare Krishna. It's just by riding in the train in devotee dress with Vaishnav Tilak and Sika, people start to chant in whatever Bollywood tune or in whatever their local tune is, you know, they start, you know, getting into the chanting. And you see, this is the result of a devotee's presence. And when we approach people to give him Krishna consciousness, to give him these literatures, we just chant, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And all of a sudden, all these people who are half asleep, half dead, you know, just hanging on to something, lying on the floor, lying on the seats, totally covered by illusory energy, totally in Maya, going for their 2-hour trip to office. All of a sudden, people wake up and you can see how all of a sudden they come back to life. And you can communicate with them on the level of the soul. This is very powerful. This is very special. Like in the West, when you're doing seminars or you're talking, there's always this whole strategy how you have to understand your audience and you have to get into their mood and walk in their shoes and, you know, find the right kind of tone of voice and the right type of strategy in order to pick them up from where they are. The wonderful thing is, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're doing all of that and much more. They have the saying, you know, you should walk a mile in somebody's shoes before you you know, judge or criticize, because then you're a mile away and you got their shoes, you know? You understand? Anyhow, it's a joke. You should put yourself in that person's mind. We have to understand, people are suffering. Their life is hard. They get up early, but not for going to Mangal Arati to see Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and dance and chant in ecstasy. But they get up early to take a bus, a train, then walk, go to the office, put in their 10, 12 hours, 6 days a week. Some people work 7 days a week just to maintain their physical bodies and their relatives. Like I asked the person, so how much you're making? He said 12,000 rupees. I said, how many hours do you work? He said, 12 hours a day. I work 12 hours a day. Then there is 2 hours morning, 2 hours evening for commuting. So 16 hours, the person is on the move just to maintain his body. It's amazing. So performing Sankirtan Jyagya is the Yuga Dharma, and it is our duty. And we can see everybody who engages in Sankirtan is blissful. That is the thing which I have noticed. I just was in Dadar on the platform and going to all the four bookstalls, back up and down and up and down. And whoever was doing Sankirtan was blissful. Whoever was not doing Sankirtan, who was spacing out, was miserable. Because Dadar station is not a very nice place. It's not like your preferred hangout spot. It's not like you want to go there and, you know, go and relax and, you know, have a good time. It's like if people go to the bathroom, you get in, you do your business, you get out. Same thing with a train station. But I had some very special encounters. First of all, everybody was very, very appreciative and very respectful. Even Christian people, Muslim people, smartas, we call them the Tarkis, you know? Tarko Pratishta, Shutayovi Bina. You know, the people who are into arguing. Everybody was very respectful and very positive. So that's quite a unique thing if you come from the West, because there you're used to opposition, you're used to challenges, to arguments, which sometimes can also be interesting because it kind of builds up your appetite, you know? Just like in a feast, in the beginning you take something bitter just to get your juice flowing, to get your appetite strong. So to have some opposition is also a good challenge for a preacher. If everybody is just agreeing with you, then either they agree with everything or they agree with nothing. You don't really know till you find out. So people are very appreciative. Not one critical word, not one not one challenge, not one person who was upset. Oh, why are you doing this out here? Why are you making all this business transaction? In fact, people were saying, you're doing the most important work here. I very much appreciate this. All kinds of business people and bankers and lawyers and hotel managers, even though they're ordinary people, but they're saying, you're doing the most important thing here by giving people this Bhagavad Gita. So even they understand it. They appreciate it. So what to speak of us, devotees, who are sold onto this Bhagavad Gita. Many times people used to say, I already have this book. And then you just take out Krishna book, you know. And you say, what about this one? And usually they don't have. So always have a few books to alternate. Don't just have Gita. Always you have to have a few books. So then you can switch. And that works really well. And sometimes people also already have that one. They say, I have five of these books at home. And I say, my dear sir, I traveled all the way from Switzerland here to Mumbai to meet you. Special, wonderful person. I made this effort. Can you also make a little effort in reciprocation and give 100 rupees and take this book and give it as a gift to someone? And more than 50% of the times, they said, yes, sure, of course. Then I had some person from, he was from Iran. He was dressed with a big black hat, and he had long hair and a big goatee, So he plays in a heavy metal band, in a hard rock band. And he looked like Lenny Kravitz. If you don't know who Lenny Kravitz is, never mind. So anyhow, so I approach him and I give him the book. And he's interested, but I could see he's tough. So I have to warm him up. So I tell him how I have this good friend of mine, Babak Jafarian. He's a real, you know, Iranian name. He's one of my old friends. So he, you know, you have to speak a few words, a few things which people can relate to. Like when they say, oh, I'm a banker, you know, I say, yeah, my brother is a banker in a Swiss bank, you know. Oh, and they immediately feel good about you. Why? Because anything which relates to them gets their sympathy. Now, we do ask people, so what's your job? What do you do? And then they say, I'm an engineer. You don't just carry on. You say, oh, very good. You're a good engineer. What do you build? Just you give them a few words because people love to hear about themselves. Huh? Just like Braj Bihari this morning, he asked me, so what are you going to talk about in class? I said, I'm going to talk about in class the thing which is most dear to me. That's myself. It's the thing which I know best. Everybody wants to speak and hear about themselves. Huh? So if you speak just a few positive words about the person, they will be all ears. And at the end, if you ask them to give a donation, they will say, hey, he appreciated me. He respected me. He likes what I'm doing. Of course I'm going to give you some money. You understand? So you have to see how the psychology works. Now you might say this is very mundane, this is very superficial, we should just give the book. But no, these are the detail that count. These are the detail that count. Because even though we're not interested whether he's a banker or an engineer or a lawyer, but if that two sentences open that person up and make him attentive and make him respectful towards Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada's movement, then we have to do that. Just like sometimes you have to go that extra mile just to convince a person. And you have to go out a little bit on a limb, take a risk. Because usually everybody's in their comfort zone, just like here, you know. You're in your comfort zone, I'm in my comfort zone, we're both okay. But if I get up close in your face and I talk like this, you might not like it. But when you go on preaching, sometimes you have to get a little up close. And you have to take the risk that people will challenge you, that they will disrespect you, that they will say no. And then don't feel bad. Just, you know, move on. And I have seen everybody who says no, I just wish him a wonderful day and Hare Krishna. And this builds up your energy. This builds up your energy. Like sometimes devotees say, I go out in Sankirtan, I chant my rounds, and then throughout the day, all my energy is depleted, and I'm all worn out. But for me, it's the opposite. When I start, I'm kind of like still a little bit in the modes, and then by doing the Harinam Sankirtan, the energy starts to build up, and build up, and build up. And everybody who's been out on book distribution knows the hardest thing is to stop. No, another book, another person. I'm flying. It's happening. I'm connected to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And you ride the wave, the tidal wave of book distribution. And you don't want to stop. But because we have to practice the austerity of also performing sadhana bhakti, there is a certain point where you have to stop because you have to get back to the temple and you have to chant your rounds the next morning. So this Iranian man, I said, you have a wonderful goatee. And he was so touched, you know. Now usually, and I have seen this works, even here in India. I say, we're giving these books to all the best dressed people here. And the person is, wow, thank you very much. Put in a few compliments. Of course, it shouldn't be ridiculous or, you know, if the person is like a bum. And you say to all the best dressed people. But if you have somebody, you see they're looking sharp, tell them, you got a nice shirt on. You've got yourself a sale. You sold that Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because you gave him a compliment. So what does it cost us to give a compliment? A sentence, a little bit of breath. Is it too much to ask? But if that's what it takes, Maybe to that person, his shirt is more important than your book. But because you have respected his shirt, he will take your book. You understand? That's how human psychology works. So, these are the little things. But it also means you respect them as a person. So, I gave him the book, asked him for a donation, and he was like, I got to go to this meeting with these music managers, and I'll come and take it on the way back. And I said, in my mind, yeah, I know that story. Not going to happen. No good for an excuse. So he said, it's too big. So I said, okay, I'll give you the small Bhagavad Gita. Same thing, small. And then I saw it was just not happening. So then sometimes you just have to take special measures. So I just embraced him, you know. I just embraced him and said, Hare Krishna, please take this book and give a donation. I had to do that 2 times. But then he took and he gave. Because I wouldn't let him go. Huh? Because I invested so much energy into this person. And at the end he surrendered. And he blissfully walked away with his Bhagavad Gita. He wants to make a heavy metal band here in Bombay. And I thought, he has to read Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, how can he be successful? How can he make good lyrics which make some sense? I was running a record label in Switzerland for 6 or 7 years. And it's amazing to see how people become influenced by Prabhupada's books. How they take a lot of the texts for their lyrics straight from Prabhupada's books. It's interesting to see how they make movies. And the whole content, the whole concept of the movie is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. It's amazing. Huh? These people don't invent those things because the human mind can't invent something so perfect. Then another gentleman I had, he was from Switzerland, he's in Pune studying film for 6 months. So I gave him the book, he was very favorable, and he immediately gave me 400 rupees for a Bhagavad Gita. So I gave him Krishna book on top. He was very happy. So I had a hotel manager from, I don't remember, Goa or Pune, business lady, you know, very well dressed and all this, all that. And, you know, you could think that she's just externally speaking, just some materialistic person. And at the end, you know, before leaving off, she said, you know that you're doing the most important activity, you're doing the most important work out here. It's kind of, you know, we know that. But if you hear it from such a person who you think all they're doing is, you know, their business, their materialistic life, but they're telling us you're doing the most important activity. Now we know Prabhupada has told us this is the most important activity. But sometimes we take it for granted. So then we go out there and the people tell us, you know, you're doing the most important activity. Now that doesn't mean that we are important. It means the activity is important. And because we are doing the activity, also we become important. But we're still the servant of the Sankirtan Yagya. So never think that the power, the potency, the eloquence, the Shakti which you get when you distribute books is your own Shakti. Never think that. Huh? Otherwise, it's ruined. Huh? Just like if you're in Kirtan and everybody thinks, oh, we're dancing and we're so expertly beating the drum and everything is so wonderful. And all of a sudden the bliss is gone. It just evaporates. It just disappears. Because Krishna says, these people are just full of themselves. I'm gone. And then you go and you do the whole thing and all of a sudden there's no more ecstasy. Ecstasy is gone. Same way when you preach. Many times we just get absorbed in hearing our own voice. So, and we are very fixed on going through with our routine. We have our standard pattern. We think preaching means this. Book distribution means this. But it's not true. I have seen, especially here in India, you experiment, try it out for yourself. Sometimes you just go, Hare Krishna, and you know, you give a book or you just sincerely, you say something heartfelt, and that is enough. You can also try with presentation and talking and philosophy, but personally speaking, if I be riding, you know, the 6 o'clock morning train, 2 hours to go downtown to work, philosophy would be probably the last thing on my mind, you know. But if it works, to get people attracted, fine. I'm just saying, do whatever it takes, whatever works. And in the trains, I experimented. I said, Hare Krishna, by the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, we're distributing this wonderful Bhagavad Gita. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? And then they kind of wake up a little bit. And I just give them the book. Huh? But I've seen devotees also, they make announcements, they make speeches. It also can work. Try it out. And whatever works, do that. Now, by performing Sankirtan Jagya, all auspiciousness is created. And all positive results are coming. And we can see that, quite frankly. Just like here in this temple. Because the preaching is going on, because the book distribution is going on, Krishna has blessed you and given you unlimited result and unlimited opportunity. So never take these activities for granted. Never think, oh, this is just something for December. And then rest of the year, okay, we go doing whatever we're doing. Actually, the culmination of every encounter is that the person appreciates Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And what a better way to appreciate Prabhupada than by buying one of his books. Prabhupada was always very much concerned when guests came, you know, show him the books. And he would sell his books personally. And if people wanted to have him for free, Prabhupada many times said, no, he must pay for them. There was, you know, member of parliament or some big guy. And Prabhupada insisted, no, you must give a donation. He wouldn't let them off the hook. So, in this way, we can learn from Prabhupada. Now, there's a couple of points which I wanted to make here in the last class, but I forgot about them. Yes, we are at war with Maya. When you're going out and distributing books, you're declaring war on Maya. So, don't be upset if Maya reacts and puts some unpleasant situation in front of you. Don't be discouraged. Because we are out there and we are preaching, and this book distribution is directly going against this asuric nature. It's going directly against Maya. So sometimes Maya strikes back and she has her own ways of trying to capture your mind, of trying to put you down. So don't let yourself be discouraged. Be always on the watch out. Just like when you go into the trains on the platform, you have to be careful, you know, because train is coming, so many people, where do you step? It's like you have to be constantly alert. So in the same way, mentally and also spiritually, we should be constantly alert and never allow our mind to wander off into sense gratification. Oh, wonderful billboards here. Oh, these people are so nicely dressed. Oh, these bodies are looking great. Oh, this body is not looking great. Oh, this is a wonderful smell. Oh, this is a horrible smell. Don't get involved in all those things. Be neutral. Be equipoised. Because we're not out there for our own sense gratification. This is not just a company-sponsored vacation. We're not just out there, you know, to go and walk and have some exercise. We're out there to preach in the Srila Prabhupada's books. So in war, sometimes there are setbacks. People get injured. So when you get blessed, when you get injured, you have to come back to the camp and get treated. And the arrows are taken out and the medicine is given and you're nicely sealed again. So we have to chant very intensely to build up our spiritual potency, to become impermeable. So we are invulnerable. Thank you for that. So that is happening if we absorb ourselves deeply in the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And by the power, by the potency of the Maha Mantra, you'll be able to touch people's hearts and make him to surrender to Krishna. Now, when we see how people's hearts become touched by the potency of Srila Prabhupada, that gives us a lot of joy. That gives us a lot of happiness and a lot of gratitude. So, sometimes we tend to make compromises and we think that for the sake of the mission, we can cut corners. But Krishna, He's there in the heart of ourselves and of every living entity, so He doesn't allow us to cut corners. So Krishna knows even before you're trying to make a compromise or cut a corner. Krishna knows. And He just watches. Upadrashtanumantascha. He just watches. He looks. He may even allow you to go ahead with it. But then later on, He sees whether we're able to catch ourselves and to rectify ourselves. Just like one time, we talk about taking risks. Going on book distribution is taking a risk. So we think, okay, let's go out there and let's get this money from these people and let's give them the book. And we go all fired up. But then we lose the principle of showing kindness and mercy. And we go too far and we push people too much and they become disturbed. Just like one time I was going from Switzerland to Germany with a carload full of Prabhupada's books. And I already had all the documents, all the papers for declaring them at the border. You have to pay tax if you take them to Germany. But I thought, I was a young devotee, and I thought, why should we give these people Krishna's money? Let me just drive through and say I have nothing to declare. And sure enough, they stopped me, they opened the door, and there was like 5,000 books in the van. What is this? I said, oh, these are just, you know, spiritual literatures. So that wasn't the problem, you know, I just played naive. The problem was that they found the papers to declare the books, which were already filled out. So that means I was really in a jam. So they took me to the office, they got really upset with me, you know. And I just had to sit there and take it and excuse myself and say, please don't call the temple, you know. They will throw me out. Please don't, you know. And I had to preach to them and really eat humble pie for half an hour. I had to sit there and take it from these custom officials, you know. So I had to pay for the books and I had to pay a fine and I had to really eat humble pie. So it was heavy, you know. But sometimes we think, oh, we're Krishna's devotees. We're always right. They're always wrong. But it's not true. Huh? People very much see how a devotee is behaving, how a devotee is acting. So don't take unnecessary risk. Don't do stupid things and think that, yeah, it's okay because it's for the mission. Huh? Don't compromise like that. Otherwise, you'll be bringing Prabhupada's movement in jeopardy, just like I've seen here in India. Even you can be bold, you can be forceful, you can push people, but they always expect you to be a sadhu. Always. So we should always behave like sadhus. Or like a perfect gentleman and a perfect lady. Just like I stand there in the middle of Dadar and I really forcefully go up to people and I shake their hand and I give them the strong look. But sometimes they want to slide away, you know, like a fish. They want to, you cannot catch them, you know. And then you could either run after them and really get heavy or you just smile, you know. So people see how you react. Also when they say no, are you becoming upset? Oh, a sadhu is not supposed to become angry. You can't be spiritual people because you get angry. That's the conception, isn't it? But Prabhupada, sometimes you get very angry, but he could do so. But when we're preaching, when we're distributing, we shouldn't get upset. We shouldn't get angry because there's no benefit in that. It's like one time we were distributing books. This is my last book distribution story. After that, a couple of questions and breakfast and you're out the door. So, we're distributing books in New York City in the Bronx, and there is Yankee Stadium, huge stadium where up to 100, 120,000 people are attending sports events and music events. So I think Pink Floyd was playing, and we were about 7 buses of Sankirtan devotees from all over the United States who were going for that concert. And there was, if you know, the Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, there's lots of parking lots all around, and they're privately owned. So they sell the tickets for the people to park their cars there to go to the stadium. But there is police everywhere around. And not just, you know, the regular average kind of cop. They're like, the cops from the Bronx are like 6'4", 6'5". They're like huge, massive people. I mean, Mahawini Prabhu is big, you know. But if you would add on another 20 kilos of muscle and body weight, you get the average size of those cops. And then they have their big bells, you know, with their gun and their stick and all their weapons and all their things. And you think, like, this is a military man, you know. They're very heavy cops. So these cops, they were there. And then you have also the plainclothes cops, and you have the people who are looking for forged tickets and who are looking for copyrighted T-shirts and who are looking for drugs. And there's so many agencies out there, and you don't want to, you know, get caught by these people. So we drove into the parking lot, and there was this big, huge, massive parking lot attendant person, and he goes, "Hare Krishna, are you devotees of Prabhupada? Are you devotees of Lord Krishna?" We said, "Yes." He said, "You know, I lost my Kunti Mala. I don't have a Kunti Mala. Do you have a Kunti Mala for me? Because this is a very bad place. There is so many bad people here. I need this Kunti Mala for protection." So we said, yeah, let us park our car and we'll give you your Kunti Mala and some prasadam. So then we went to him, we gave him the Kunti Mala, we gave him some prasadam. And he was like, "I have your books. This is wonderful. This is great, you know. I'm doing this hard work. There is all these people here and I really need, you know, if I don't wear Kunti Mala, I'm not protected." So then we say, yeah, nice encounter, great. Then we go on distributing books. And then these cops come, big, huge guys, and they want to arrest us because we were illegal there. And then he comes and he chases them away. And he says, "This is private property. You have no business here, being here. This is our parking lot. You go on the street. You manage the traffic. This is my people. These are good people." So he threw them out because, you know, it's private property. Unless somebody calls them, they got no business to go on private property. They have to look for the public, not for the private, you know. So he scared them off, you know. So in the beginning, we thought, you know, okay, this is this person. He's a bit crazy, but he's kind of nice. But later on, because of his service, we could distribute many books there in that lot. So it just shows every word, every gesture, every piece of prasadam you distribute, every kind word you're giving is giving you the return, manifold. Never underestimate that. And just like people are traveling on those trains every day, so they may see you at Dadar and they might buy a book in Andheri. But because they had a blissful encounter at one place, later on, you know, they got time to think throughout the day. Hey, actually, you know, that was a nice person. Yeah, okay, let me buy a book later on. Sometimes we have to warm them up. It takes a little bit, you know, of time. But be sure again, they'll be in Dadar again. They'll be in Andheri again. And they'll get the book eventually. And then when we give them the chance to also take those study courses and to come to the temple and get into the association of devotees, their hearts can change. I've met so many sincere, genuine, appreciative people in the last 2 days. It's amazing. You're sitting on a gold mine here. And India is a sleeping giant. And Mumbai is the best city for distributing Krishna consciousness, for making devotees. There's people from all over the country who come here to study, to get educated, or to get jobs. I met like 5 or 7 people who just went for job interview. Or who went this first day of job. And you say, "Wonderful. This is the perfect occasion. You take this book and your life will become successful." And they believe in it because they believe in the words of a sadhu. And if we're doing it in a humble way as representatives of Prabhupada, people will believe us. Now the question is, where do we believe? That's another question. So, by performing Sankirtan Yagya, all auspiciousness is created. All auspicious results are generated. And human society can go on in a very nice and wonderful way. And if Sankirtan is stopped, all of a sudden the size of the vegetables, the size of the fruits, the size of the flowers, and the quality of human relations becomes very less. It becomes reduced. So let us go out in this Prabhupada marathon and distribute a couple of books, a few hundred books, a few thousand books, whatever your capacity is, and give this gift of Krishna consciousness to all these people of this city, because they need Krishna consciousness badly. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we got 2.5 minutes for questions. Yes. Both. Those who actually perform the yagya, they get maximum benefit, and those who are also happen to be in the area, they also share in the result. Just like you also share in the impious activities, if you're just a normal so-called. That's why you can't be neutral, you see? That's why you can't just be a nice guy. You can't just be a nice materialist, because it doesn't work out. Because even if you keep a book for the papa and the punya, you know, like you keep your business book with all the entry and all the exit, but you can't. It's like any accountant knows, the account is never just zero. You're always either in plus or in minus. You can never completely, you always have open outstanding bills. Even as we speak, money is being coming in and money is being going out. So you can't be neutral. You can't just be a nice guy. It doesn't work. Either you engage in positive activity and you engage in Sankirtan, or you get caught up and swept up in the whole Maya, in the materialistic affair. You can't just be a bystander. Like sometimes devotees say, oh, let me just stand on the wall and look at this kirtan, see how they're dancing. Oh, Gauranga Priya Prabhu is doing ecstatically, and this one is dancing, and this one is chanting, but I'm an observer. We should not be spectators. We should take action. We can't just be observers. This is our own life. Sometimes you talk to these young men and they say, look, my job, my marriage, my career, everything has been worked out for me. But I'm not. And you tell them, you're not a spectator in your own life. You have to take action. You have to take initiative. You can't just stand there and let things happen and be decided for you. And then later on you moan and you complain. What's there to moan and complain about? If you're just standing on the wall and you're not feeling any ecstasy, then what do? You jump. You get in there. You start moving your body. And in the beginning it's a little artificial. In the beginning it's a little, you know, okay, all right, let me also chant and dance. And it's a little, you know, external. But after a couple of minutes, your heart also starts to chant. And then your mind, everything, your entire existence. So, I don't know whether that answers your question. Yes.
Do demigods receive Hare please directly, or are they pleased by the Dharma? Are they pleased directly?
Demigods are pleased directly, yes. Definitely. Very much so. They're persons. Just like, you know, if I feed you nice meal, you are directly pleased.
I was just wondering if they were pleased because the Supreme Lord was being pleased. Like,
well, you know, they're not independent agents. So there is a certain protocol. There is a certain system, certain sacrifices, certain activities. They please them in the same way. So it's not like you can just bypass the system, you know, and like you bribe an official. You have to go according to the system. So that's why we're performing Harinam Sankirtan, and we know that the demigods are pleased, and they're definitely giving blessings. They're not independent agents. They're following the system. Other questions? Comments, challenges, criticism? I can take it. I'm leaving today, so anything on your mind? Yes, Maharaj, please chastise me. Straighten me out.
You told a story one time that I really liked, and I keep telling it, but I need to hear it again because I need to hear the details. You were telling how this was in a book distribution seminar in Mayapur. It was many years ago. How you were distributing books, and some girl was really appreciating and glorifying you. And then the next person, you remember that story?
And then the next person?
Was you were feeling a little happy. Or
a little excited.
A little overconfident because of the...
Carried away by the high feeling, wow.
Yeah, and there was another person who came over, and you remember that story?
Not really, but if you keep on telling me, it might come back to me.
He handed a guy a book, and he said, and he was looking at it, and he gave it back to you, and said, this book talks all about, you know, devotees and...
humility.
Yeah.
And here you are, very full of yourself, very proud.
Something like that.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, but it's been a while. So, but this happens, you know, like on a daily basis, mm-hmm. in smaller or bigger scale, mm-hmm. that we give somebody a book and the person is very favorable and they give a donation and inside you think, oh, well done, you know, good job, huh? AAA. Bullseye. I immediately, you know, I really saw this person. I went for him. I gave him the book. They took the book. Everything was perfect. And then the mind goes, you know, jai me, jai me, jai me. Huh? And then the next few people you want to approach, they just go like, who are you? You know? What the heck do you want? Or they might even say, you know, you're supposed to be a sadhu and you're so proud. Or they might even be very interested, but at the end, they don't take the book. And you know, Krishna tells you in your heart, it's your pride. It's my arrogance which has kept this person from taking Krishna's mercy. That's very shocking, you know. That gives a lot of pain to the heart. But that straightens you out and makes you sober. Now somebody might say, what is this? Why does Krishna tell this person not to take a book? That's how kind our Lord is. Krishna is more concerned with our attitude and our state of heart and mind than this one book distributed. Because don't you worry, if that person is meant to get a book, he'll get a book eventually. There are other devotees who are not so much, you know, proud, who will give him the book. But this is actually very endearing because we see how Krishna is, he's more concerned about our state of consciousness than about a short-term result. And we see in it every day how if you just space out a little bit or you're a little bit proud, they walk right past you. They say, just say, yeah, nice. It was nice talking to you, you know. But you told me everything. Now why I should buy this book? You know? Like sometimes devotees talk and talk and talk and really like talking. And then they say, thank you, you've told me everything now, so I can just go now. I don't need to take the book. No, we should just make them interested enough that the book is the culmination. The book is the end result. But if we kind of give our lecture, and at the end, they say, well, now I know everything. It was nice meeting you. If I need more talking, I know where to find you. No, we should just, you know, this is like, our talking is like an appetizer. We should just like when you have a perfectly arranged feast or a banquet, you know, or a reception. In the beginning, they just give a little something to nibble, you know. What is it called? Our expert? Starter? Yeah? Hors d'oeuvre, yes. It's not part of the main course, not part of the main meal, you know. It's just a little something to to make you feel like, hey, wow, this is nice. Something is going to happen today here, you know, just to get you excited. So our talking is just a starter. It's just the hors d'oeuvre. It's just the hook, you know, it's just to get them. Then the book, this is the real feast. This is the real thing. We always have to keep that in mind, because sometimes by our great erudition and eloquence and power of speech, you know, we can dance circles around them. But that won't impress them. That won't impress Krishna, because the people are proud themselves. They don't need to see us being proud. They already have enough pride in their life. Huh? They're impressed by humility. They're impressed by genuine concern. And you know what's the most convincing thing? Is if you see a person who is so educated that he could dance circles around you, but he's very straightforward and very direct, you know, and he tones it down. That is the most, you know, all you see, like spiritual master, has got so much service, so many activities going on, but he's giving you the feeling that he's just there for you, for nobody else. He gives you the full quality time, full quality treatment. He's not checking his email, doing his phone calls, you know, chanting his rounds, taking lunch on the side. He's just giving you the full quality time, full attention. That's very unique. That's very endearing. That's very touching. So if we decide to do the same thing in our preaching and in our exchange with devotees, that becomes very attractive. So you see, you put me on the spot. I forget my own stories because I've been so much out of touch. So I have to distribute more books. So I'd like to thank you all very much for inviting me here to come and speak and for tolerating me. I hope to be back sometime soon. And in the meantime, if you can come to Mayapur, come over to the Goshala and eat some pizza in my place, then it'll also be fun. You're doing a great, wonderful, great work. Never take it lightly. Never think for a moment that there is something else. Always relish, always appreciate what you have, because it is unique. It is very special. Thank you very much. All glory Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Marathon Bhakti Sibhushan Ki Jai.